Hey, 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 y'all. It's your girl, Jazlyn Harris, and I am your host of the Moves You Heard podcast. If you've been with us since day one, welcome back. Thank you again so much for being a loyal part of this community. I'm so happy to have you here, but I also want to show some love to the people that are just now joining us. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. You are now officially a part of the village. So before we get into it, I want to make sure that you guys are liking, following, and subscribing to our show on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. We have another great guest for you on today's episode, but I promise I'm not saying that just because he is a part of my family. We have someone special named Brendan Bird Jackson, and he came all the way from Detroit, Michigan, down here to Atlanta to, you know, show some light on the music community down here. So before I get into it, you know I have to introduce him the right way. Brendan Bird Jackson was born in Detroit, Michigan. He fell in love with music at three when his uncle played saxophone, and he was instantly hooked. He learned to play bass in middle school and would often write music in his pastime. Although he stepped away from music, he recently relocated to Atlanta and was rekindled his love by creating the Wax on Wax Record Club, an event that brings music lovers together to discuss some of their favorite albums. He is currently working on a radio show titled Indie by Nature, which is focused on independent artists and working with the independent music community to help those artists turn their passion into their livelihood. Everyone, please help me welcome my cousin, Bird Jackson. Everybody say what's up to my cousin, Brendan Jackson.
What up, though, y'all?
Hey, we're so happy to have you. So thank you for your time. And we are just going to get to know him a little bit more. All the things that he does in the city of Atlanta, as well as his brand and his love for music. So I'm ready to dive right deep into what he has going on. So if you've been following us, you know that every episode we start with a special Moves You Motivate message for the day. So with this message, what we're going to do, we're going to tell you the message or the special quote for the day. And I want to know, what is your take on that message? What does it mean to you? What other thoughts that you might have about it? Okay. So today's Moves You Motivate message is celebrate how far you've come. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that is something really important for us to do in this day and age. Early before we started recording, we were talking about just how fast life is going. Yeah. So Brendan, what's your take on that message? Celebrating how far you've come.
At one point in time, I was like really bad at that because mm-hmm. I would like, you know, as you follow success gurus and motivational speakers and, you know, if you do all that stuff and they always talk about celebrate your success, even the small victories and all that. And you just kind of think all the time about how you might be, you know, you miss something small. Like you said, we were talking earlier and we talked about the to-do list mm-hmm. and you put 10 things on your to-do list, which you shouldn't do anyway, but you put 10 things on your to-do list and you knock out 7 of them mm-hmm. and you don't hit the 3 of them and you're mad.
And you feel bad.
Your day is it's a failed day and you didn't do everything you're supposed to do. And you know, so now your whole day is frazzled. But you accomplished 7 things, like, which you shouldn't even have 7 things on your to-do list. So like you have to celebrate those things because you recondition yourself when you do. And that's, you know, for me, a big thing is just kind of always being in that mindset of I can, I do, I will, I must. And you go forward when you're trying to accomplish your goals because that's what you set something out for. And so when you're telling yourself constantly, you're not celebrating those victories. You know, when you do the same thing with your goals, you know, you're flustered, you're not focused correctly. Mm-hmm. But if you're celebrating those wins or celebrating those little hits here and there, you know, they roll up into those big things anyway. So you kind of always have to remember that, always celebrate that, always look to that. So that's what I think about when I hear that quote. Just always make sure you're celebrating those small things because mm-hmm. those small things lead to those bigger things. And then when those bigger things blow, mm-hmm. sky's the limit. Yeah. That's when you really celebrate, right?
Yeah. That's a really good point, how it snowballs into the bigger thing, because I think why it's so hard for us to celebrate the small things is because we're always looking at that big goal.
Exactly.
And we're not seeing ourselves at that big goal, so we just feel like we haven't accomplished anything. Like, exactly. Like the list you gave, like the exactly. big goal was the 10. If I made the 7, I'm still a failure. But that's not true. Like, you literally accomplished 7 things out of the 10 things you were trying to do.
Exactly.
And trying to remember that, you know, we're human. You're not going to get everything exactly. at once. Like, it's possible for some, but it's not always the healthy possible.
Exactly.
So when you take a moment to reflect, it really is something special. And it's crazy because, you know, earlier I told you that sometimes I'm an overachiever and I'm always putting too much on my plate. But I have this thing in my mind says, no matter how many things I've done, I haven't done enough, right? But if I actually have a conversation with somebody and I tell them the things that I've done, the things that I'm working on now, they look at me like, wow. Whoa, wait yeah, a second, exactly, you're doing exactly. a lot.
That's what made me learn that.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that makes me realize, okay, girl, you are kind of doing a lot. Like, you could chill a little bit. You don't have to be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the, I don't want to say curse, but that's the curse of, you know, being, like, so hard on yourself and being, like, a perfectionist.
Yeah,
but thank you for that. So hopefully all my other perfectionists out there celebrate how far you've come, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're still moving and grooving. It's okay.
And also remember that prevents burnout.
Yes.
Celebrate yourself. That gives you those times and those moments to stop, take a breather, bask in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and then you can reset yourself and keep going versus the alternative.
Yes. And I just want to mention right now that we're in a different space today and we are vibing out. So I feel really relaxed. So that made great sense. Like, I just took the moment to exhale these beautiful incense that are in here. Okay. So thank you for that. But now it's time to get on you. So who are you? Where are you from? And what would you say? Like, who is Brandon Jackson?
Well, I'm from Detroit. That's why y'all heard me say what up though at the beginning, because whenever you saw always what up though, like what up though is, and it's not a question. I mean, it can be, but when you say what up though, it's just a greeting. So when I say what up though, you say what up though back.
What up though, Detroit?
What up though? But I'm from Detroit, moved down here, a couple of years ago, have a 14-year-old daughter, beautiful daughter, so smart, this is amazing art, you know, artistic ability. I think our whole family kind of has it,
yeah.
which is crazy. It's kind of weird. And as far as who I am, beyond that, I'm a music lover.
Mm-hmm.
As you're seeing in this setting, the setting she's in is here at my home, and I have a case full of vinyl records, and that's my love and my pastime. I love just kind of listening to vinyl, is mm-hmm. be able to hold a record, to feel it still, to have like that physical connection to it. It's very important to me, and I love it because I feel like, to me, music is a universal language. Mm-hmm. Music is the one thing that everybody could connect to. It's the one creative medium that everybody, there's not one person who came up. You may not be a person that listens to music all day, every day,
mm-hmm.
But I bet you there's something you bobbing your head to. Mm-hmm. It can make the most hated, you know, evil person take a moment and enjoy themselves, or it can make, you know, the happiest person be in bliss and enjoy. So that's why I love it so much. And that's why, you know, vinyl and stuff. I used to play bass when I was younger. So I've always had a connection to it. Like, my earliest memory, which is crazy, you know, you kind of don't remember. They say your brain doesn't really kind of pick up things until you get around 7. And that's when you get into a different mindset, mm-hmm. brain state, and you can kind of remember things. That's why a lot of times, like, when you think about your past memories, if you try to go back as far as you can, most of the time you can't really think past, like, what it was like before this certain age. And then, like, you see blotches, but you can't. But I just kind of, there's this this moment when I was 3 where I remember I had a my uncle who, RIP, my uncle is no longer here with us on my dad's side. But I remember when I was 3, he used to play saxophone in high school. And I can vaguely remember, like, sitting down on the couch and sitting with him and like trying to play the saxophone. So it's always been this connection with for me. So
music in your blood.
It's in the blood. So my dad listened to everything, you know. So I listened to everything growing up, you know. So I pulled from everywhere. And then my uncle, my other uncle is, you know, he's an artist, literally, you know, he does that for a living. So I pulled from that. It's multiple places. And so, that's who I am. That's what makes me. That's the thing for me. I love music.
Yeah. And if you guys could see this room, if we could turn around the camera, we're not today, but if you could see the vinyl that's behind us, it's really beautiful. His collection is amazing. And I've gotten a bigger appreciation for it coming to know him.
Might be able to get a BTS of it later.
So. Oh yeah, we could probably get that. So tune in for BTS later. I truly believe that music is very strong within our family. Growing up, I think my biggest connection with music in the family was first Uncle Mondo.
Yeah,
shout out to Chris DJ. Bailey.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, you know,
no, Chris and DJ.
Yeah, Jim Uncle did. Lump. Yep, Jim.
My turntable.
Yeah.
Was his old deck.
Yeah, so we got music in our family, and just my memories being with my other uncle was always with music and things like that. So it only makes sense for you to come down here. Yeah. But that's
Atlanta
what.
Too.
Right. That's what I wanted to lead to. So being from Detroit, you know, what kind of moved you down here to Atlanta? What was the reason you came down?
You know, I've been wanting to live down here since I was a kid. Like, I remember when, you know, your uncle, your uncles and they moved, or y'all moved down here. I think your mom actually moved down here before everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to Buffalo all the time because that's where they live. We live in Detroit. It's 4 hours away. You can go right across the, you know, the Canada, through Ontario, all that. And then Buffalo's right on the other side. And so we always would go back and forth, and we always had, I remember, even though they were much older than me, just still having that connection. Obviously, you're a young boy, you look up to the guys. I don't have no brothers. So, you know,
those are your
my
brothers.
Cousins, my male cousins, and then my older male cousins. Those are the ones I, you know.
Yeah.
So when everybody moved down here, it was like, oh man, what a, you know,
it's
like
you kind of
feel, it's like losing like the person that's lived next door to you, the family member that actually lived next door to you, because essentially we did. So we got to come down here, and I just connected with the place like way back when. So a couple years ago, you know, unfortunately through the pandemic and stuff, I had lost my job, had a hard time finding work. Got a job, finally excited, back in my field. 4 months into the job, they laid like half the company off. So I'm like, oh man. I'm like, what am I going to do? I just got this job.
Yeah.
Good money and stuff. And so I'm like, you know what? I've been wanting to go down to Atlanta. And I just kind of started looking at my life. And, you know, at an older age, and this is, I don't know how much of your demographic is older and stuff, but I'm 40 now. So here I am at 38, I think at the time, 37, 38, looking for a life change, which I want to let you all know, it's never too late. You know, you have that time. So never feel like you're a failure because you're not where you want to be.
Thank you for that.
Because essentially in my mind, I was where I wanted to be for so long. I was doing pretty well up to that point, but I always had like this yearning inside of me. I always knew, kind of. And right before I moved down here, like a year before, I was doing my podcast, and I stopped doing my podcast. I didn't really want to. It was like, I think I was doing it for like a year and a half, 2 years, of kind of like just got over it and was kind of tired. Mm-hmm. And so, leading up to all of this stuff, what I did though was I got a chance to create. I got a chance to do a podcast. I got invested in like these microphones, and laptops, and software and equipment and all this stuff. And it took me back to when I used to play bass, which I hadn't done since I was like 15 or something.
Oh wow!
Like that.
Yeah,
it took me back to being able to create. When I was a kid, I used to write music. I used to literally write music, you know. So it took me back to those moments of being able to do that stuff. And I'm like, man, this feels good. And I was like, you know, all this time, this has been like kind of who I am. It's always been in the background. Like I said, I wrote music when I was younger, but I was always this kid who just, it was easy to get me to give up, I feel like. Mm. Because I was always told, like, if you want to do certain things, and this is no disrespect or nothing to family or anything, because realize the generation before us is only teaching us what they know.
Yeah.
So we can't really hold that against them, just like they shouldn't hold that against the next generation for, quote unquote, being lazy and all this other stuff. Yeah. Because remember, the generation before them is the generation that kind of raised them and showed them.
Yeah.
But it was always, you got to go to school, do this. It's the same, you know, the formula,
yeah.
Regular formula.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always, you know, with music stuff, I would get discouraged pretty easily as a kid. And, you know, I just didn't, I loved it, but it was always something that I felt like it was far out of my reach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you can't do those kind of things. So, mm-hmm. After I started collecting vinyl, I was like, you know what would be dope? I just kind of started having these ideas for like a record store lounge and all this kind of stuff you could do. And it would be dope to have this and do this mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got laid off, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go down to Atlanta. I'm gonna change my life. I'm gonna change my daughter's life. I'm gonna change my trajectory. So I started looking for jobs down here, and I didn't tell anybody at first because I didn't, mm-hmm. I didn't want to, if it happened.
Right.
So I started applying for jobs down here, but still applying for jobs back in Michigan, and got a job down here. Ended up rescinding the offer. I'm already, you know, packed, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to my boy, asked him, could I stay there for 6 months so I could save some money and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm like, man, what am I going to do? But I'm going down there anyway. I'm going to figure it out.
Talk about a leap of faith.
Yeah, I'm like, it's something in me at this point in time telling me, like, you have to
go.
Because if you don't, there's this burning inside you right now that it's like, it almost feels like this is your last chance kind of thing. So there's this thing that's like, you got to do it. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go down. I'm going to still keep applying for jobs and stuff. Did end up getting another job, thankfully. But that's what got me down here. I'm like, I want to come down here and I want to create, you know, I want to change the trajectory of my daughter's life and build something for my family. So I decided the best place to do it is to come down here and network with people, because my ultimate goal is to, like I said, I want to build a record store lounge, a place where you can come, you can buy records, but you can vibe out. Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on there, events and kind of different things going on. So I'm working on trying to get the equity for that,
mm-hmm.
but also networking with different people who are music professionals, because what I want to do ultimately here is, I want to move into music management and really focus on independent artists. Because independent artists, the reason why I say I want to focus on independent artists is because independent artists, whenever there's a change in music,
mm-hmm.
if you look over the eras in the history, when you think about funk, disco, when you think about rock, when you think about grunge, when you think about hip hop,
mm-hmm.
most of those came out of an underground movement. And so whenever there's a change in music,
mm-hmm.
It's usually spurred first
from some type of reality,
independent, from into the people who are not on TV every day, who are not, you know, at the Grammys and doing all stage just on their grind.
Yeah.
They still got 9 to 5. They're trying to figure out how to make music their life. And so in today's world, because you have so much technology and access, you got SoundCloud and, you know, companies will, or the streaming services, they'll allow you to upload your music independently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's companies who, you know, you could pay them a monthly fee, but they'll distribute your music now. And there's all kind of outlets for independent artists to make money. And there's people out there who are making money or making a good living, and you don't hear them on the radio every day.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you know they're there. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's just, there's that outlet, and that's why I want to focus on independent artists, because I think independent artists are who are going to change how the sound of music is right now. People are kind of tired of it as it stands, because there's a formula to mainstream music right now. Okay. This is no longer like a conspiracy theory. Is known when you look at your Spotify playlist, they push certain music to you, you know, the top 40 playlists, those generated playlists. You know, Universal Music is invested in Spotify. Right. Even though they're, you know, beefing with them and stuff, but they're invested in them. So there's obviously an interest.
Yeah.
And you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So they want to push a certain kind of sound and music to you. Anybody you talk to every day is telling you, even people who are not, even people who love the mainstream stuff are telling you at this point, hey, man, I'm kind of tired of it. All sounds
the same. Yeah, no, it really does all sound the same. And it's a little frustrating for people that really appreciate real music because everything that's in mainstream is so catchy. Yeah, like these days, everything is about, okay, what's going to be on the next super viral video? And we're just going to keep that going because everybody's going to repost it and everybody's going to stream it. And it's all about the money right there. And just, you know, hearing about certain artists that fight to be able to do the music that they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So
people are leaving labels nowadays, major labels. They're leaving dollars on the table. That are probably going to get taken from label anyway, but they're leaving dollars on the table to go independent.
Yeah.
I think of Summer Walker, like an example, you know, she talked about the grind of being on a major label and then not wanting to be like that. Mm-hmm. She wants to go back to being independent because she doesn't have to tour like she does. She talks about having social anxiety and that's a big thing. And she feels like her creativity is stifled and they want her to make, you know, so.
I can tell the difference between her music when she was first starting to now.
You hear
like,
it.
I still like her, but I fell in love with her music back then.
So she is able to get, you know, her freedom, which hopefully she does, and she's able to go back to that. You know, you're probably going to hear that again. The artist we were talking about earlier, Larry June, you know.
Yeah.
Big Larry June fan. Larry June signed, he talks about his time being signed to a label. He signed to a major label, you know, from independent for all these years. And you hear the difference in the sound. And then he goes back independent and you again hear the difference in the sound. I mean, there's some things he picked up from that mainstream world, which you always should because you always should be growing.
That experience,
But he's himself. He's comfortable again. And you hear it. There's more confidence in the music. It sounds better.
That's good. I think that's great because he'll be more apologetic about going into it with his own sound.
So
for sure.
It's, you know, it's going to go back to that. The independent artists are going to continue to shape that. And that's what's going to be like the disruption.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more. You got a little ahead of me, but I love that you, no, you're good, but I love that you brought that up. But what I want to backtrack on a little bit is you touched on the fact that you had a podcast. And fun fact, you guys, before I decided to officially do this podcast, he was a go-to. I picked his brain. And I remember when mom first told me about your podcast, it was before we officially met. Because I didn't really know my cousin too well.
Yeah,
a few years ago. And so not too long ago, I don't even remember what year it was, but we were in the car. I think we were going on some road trip. And she said, because this is when I first started listening to podcasts. And she told me, hey, your cousin has a podcast. I was like, what cousin? And so she told me about the podcast and I listened to a couple of was in the car and I was like, oh, okay. And then next thing I know, you pop up at our house at the family cookout. And that's when we met him again. You know, that's how you meet all your family. They just pop up at a cookout. But yeah, so then we got to know each other some more. Come to find out, he's like just this total mastermind about all these things. And I'm picking his brain out. I remember I texted you to meet at the Starbucks and we just hashed it out. We talked about what I was thinking about that
was,
doing.
That was fun.
He gave me a couple books to read. I didn't finish them.
You get the information out of them you need, really.
Yeah. So I want to know more about your story with podcasting. Like, what was the name of your first podcast? I think you told me that you were getting ready to do another one.
I kind of started one, but I'm a pivot, but I'll get into that.
Okay.
Because we're doing something bigger than that. But Yeah, so I really, kind of how my podcast idea started was like barbershop, you know.
Okay.
So I go to barbershop, you know, and there's always this like stereotype that all dudes only talk about. And I think this is mostly from ladies.
Uh-huh.
Like, all we talk about is women and sex and sports,
uh-huh.
right? The only topics that come up in the barbershop.
Uh-huh.
That's all that's on our mind all the time. But you get in there and you get some real rap. You know, you start, it could be therapeutic at times. You know, my barber up there, he was a friend of mine also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I come in there, I would talk to him about life stuff, family stuff. We powwow about, yeah, we would talk about sports and sex and all that stuff too. And, you know, but we would also, like I said, we would talk about brotherhood, family, you know. We might be talking about space or something like
yeah.
that. Like, we might be talking about something random, you know. We might be talking about how the human mind works. And
I love that because it's unusual to hear that about typically Black men talking about yeah. things like that. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Because we are put in this box to just talk about those
right.
three things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, we get deeper than that. So I'm like, I wish we could capture these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, people, not everybody is comfortable with being
right.
filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into the aspect of what if this blows up, people are wanting to, you know, you got random people that are involved and it just kind of becomes messy. So I'm like,
yeah.
man, how do I do it? I didn't really listen to podcasts. Like, I knew what podcasts were.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to them here and there, but I'm like, you know, well, maybe that's something I might be able to do. And a friend of mine, I knew he had a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I had kind of talked to him about it a little bit and he told me kind of what I would need to get started. So I'm like, well, let me look into it. I grabbed these books because I'm like, well, I want to see if this is going to cost money. Because everybody's
yep.
like, podcasting doesn't cost a lot of money. It's low
overhead. It costs money, y'all.
All you need is a laptop and blah, blah, blah. And while that's true to a certain extent,
yeah.
If you want to get at least some kind of traction, if you're just doing it because you're like, I'm bored.
Like, it's a hobby.
I just want to talk
yeah.
and yada, 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 then by all means, get your recording software on your laptop, get you a hosting site. The only thing you're going to have to spend is $20.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Buzzsprout, you can get it for free. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get up to, I think, an hour or something of time for free or something a month or something like that. So, yeah, you can do it from that standpoint. But I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I want it to have at least some kind of impact.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I wasn't thinking of, you know, I'm not about to blow up off this, but I just want to kind of give people something to connect to, like regular
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So, got a couple books, started looking to it, saw that it would be a somewhat a decent investment.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, initially made it a decent investment. I was going to call it the Take Flight Show at first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Cause it kind of didn't make sense. To
I was about
I was
to ask
like.
You why.
I think I got the idea like, oh, we going to take off on topics or something.
Oh, okay.
Like so I was like, that don't really make sense.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, well, you said you want to kind of be inspired by this thing from the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously can't call it the shop because LeBron James has a show like that.
Mm-hmm.
The barbershop I was at, shout out to them, the Social Club in Detroit. Man, if you're from Detroit, go visit the Social Club. But they also have their own stuff that they
wow.
do, a monthly meetup that they also post and stuff
okay.
Called Shop Talk. So I'm like, well, I can't name it something like that. I don't want to knock off them and all that.
Yeah.
Because they talk a little bit more in depth about finances and they do talk about mental health and stuff, but it's more like a panel almost. They usually bring somebody
mm-hmm.
in, they interview them,
mm-hmm.
and people can ask them questions. So it's a little bit different. So I'm like, I can't really do that. And so what can I do to kind of give it that, you know, touch on it? So that's when I called it the Fade Up Podcast.
The Fade Up Podcast.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I got a friend of mine that I was working with to do the logo
because
mm-hmm. He knew how to do graphic design. It was like a silhouette, the side of a guy's face, kind of with, it was just black and white.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, you could see his fade.
Yeah.
And he got like a kind of like a curly high top a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it said the Fade Up Podcast on it. So I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm going to go with. Originally didn't know if I was going to do it by myself or not.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin and his homeboy, they happened to come over one day, or my cousin happened to come over one day, and he was just talking about how he wanted to do a podcast. It was just coincidental. And I was thinking about adding co-hosts anyway, because, you know, doing it by yourself sometimes can be a little,
hard,
keeping topics up and stuff. And so that's when I got them, and then we started doing the Fade Up podcast. And, you know, we it did okay for a minute.
Okay.
You know, had a nice run.
That's what's up. So where do you think you would want to go with this new one? Do you feel comfortable talking about that a little
bit? Yeah. So I actually got one now. It's called Waxing Facts with Birdman and CJ. That's one that we work on. And it's music. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about music. My brand is Wax on Wax.
Yeah.
So, and Wax on Wax Record Club. So we just kind of, we talk about music. We try not to make it like, I didn't want to do something mainstream. Like, I didn't want to do something that everybody else is doing. I didn't want to just talk about hip hop music. I didn't want to talk about what's the latest gossip and news.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, like, we'll talk a little bit about news, but we kind of touch on different topics. Like, I've talked about streaming in relation to getting paid and stuff on there. I've talked about, should an artist go independent versus should they go mainstream? I'm not an expert by any stretch of the measure yet. I'm still learning this stuff myself, but I go to school for all this stuff. And so I'm sharing things that I've learned in school, but also things that I research on my own.
Yeah.
I kind of go down that rabbit hole when it comes to stuff, especially when it comes to music. So I want to give my take and advice on that. We also like to give artists their flowers. So, you know, we talked about the Thriller documentary last year, and gave our take on that. So it's just different stuff, different topics we touch on. And I really enjoy it. But further than that, another thing that I'm working on is an independent radio show that's going to be dedicated and focused on independent artists. Me and my homeboy, Quentin, shout out to Quentin. We're working on that as we speak right now. So look out for that soon. But we really want to focus on, like I said earlier, I was talking about those independent artists. We want to focus on giving those independent artists that shine a chance to come on, interview, and actually artists, period. Not because they all kind of intersect.
Yeah.
Like artists who paint, artists who dance like yourself, artists who I don't know what else. There's so many different mediums of creative people who do videography, photography. You know, you want to bring them all in because they all intersect. The main thing is music, but it's funny now how music has connected those different mediums so much now.
The more you talk about it,
by the two,
and the more you're like involved with the community, the more you realize we're so cohesive.
Yeah,
so cohesive.
Because you go on a little 5 points, like and it's, you know. But everybody who kind of has that mind and that, you know, it draws those people in. Mm-hmm. And it's not just one group, just because even some of the stores down there, like Moods, you know, I talked about with the Wax on Wax Record Club. People come in there and, of course, you got your music heads, but you got people who are creatives in other mediums. And they come in there and they get inspired by what's in the store from that, you know, and they're coming into a music store and they do something totally different. People a lot of times come in there and they talk to Daryl, the owner, and ask them, could they record in the store and stuff? You know, people who are shooting their own podcasts, or you got videographers who come in there and they just want to shoot it because they like the aesthetic.
It's beautiful,
Photographers come in there, they want to shoot it because they like the aesthetic of
it.
So you see how, like you said, they all kind of intersect and intertwine, man. So that's what we want to do. But one, like I said, the main thing is we're going to be focusing on those independent artists and letting them.
Atlanta, the place to do it too.
Oh yeah, there's 1,001. Yeah. Everybody, even for
like the dance community, I was a part of a small dance group called Guy Code shortly after I graduated from college, and it made me realize like there's so many talented underdog dancers here in Atlanta. And when you compare dancers from Atlanta to New York or mm-hmm. LA. New York and LA, those are the bigs. Those are the two big ones, right? Atlanta, it's like we're known, mm-hmm. but we're known as the underdogs.
Yeah.
Like we have this talent, we have this heart, we have this grind, but we're still the underdogs. We're still like not literally where we are.
Yep, it's like that with the, you know, the film industry down here. Mm-hmm, it's like that with a lot. You know, you come down here, you kind of realize.
Like, yeah, and we're always like slowly growing, but it's still, they've already had that stamped on mm-hmm. them, you know, so. It's the third one, but we got the underdog. But I appreciate that title though. Yeah. I really do, because it gives you that other sense of heart. You know what I'm saying?
And gives you drive.
Yeah,
that's I think
it does give you drive.
Why you get so many people who are hustlers down here? Because mm-hmm. even when before I moved down here, you visit, and it's just the energy about the city, like. You come down here and you leave and you like, oh,
yeah.
You go home. You like, I gotta grind. Cause you know, they down there, you know, and it's
you
just,
can definitely step into the city and get some inspiration real quick.
Yeah.
So sidebar, your nickname. Why they call you Birdman? Where does Birdman come from?
Well, y'all see, I'm skinny, man. When I was a kid, obviously I'm skinny. So chest was cage, bird cage. So my cousins would call me Bird. They talk about me and stuff. And
of course,
when you were a kid, you like, but then after a minute, it just kind of stuck in.
It grew on you.
So
family, I haven't heard the bird chest in forever.
Family, that's why I work out a little bit now, so I'm not that bad. So it was like a family nickname, and everybody, my family would call me Bird, and people with like friends mm-hmm. would come over and stuff like that. Women I was dating, they or whoever, they come over and people would call you Bird. They'd be like, why they call you Bird? They just look like, who's Bird? Like,
that's crazy.
Like my family does not call me by my name. Mm-hmm. Like you really won't hear anybody except for my mom. Call me Brendan, and even her, she'll call me Bryn.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else is Bird. So, and it's funny because for a while I protected that nickname. Like, if you wasn't family, like,
you can't say it.
You can't say it.
Oh, one that's of those
things where, like, people said it to me, like, nah, you can't do that. But mm-hmm. then, like,
you ain't made it.
Now I embrace it because I'm like, you know, I want it to be a part of my brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also that paying that same homage to my family, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time, like, giving that honor back to my family. Like I am who I am because of my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be here. So I have to give them that honor too at the same time. So I'm like, if I'm going to do something and I want to do it big, I'm going to do it big and I'm going to do it while representing.
Yeah.
You know? So
I love that.
My brand is Bird. You know, when you hear me, you see me, I introduce myself most of the time as Bird or Birdman. You know?
Bird it is. But cool. All right. So now I want to get into Waxed on Wax. You touched on it a little bit, mm-hmm. but let's get into it. So what is Waxed on Wax? You said it was a record club, a record brand.
So Waxed on Wax is my brand, what I deem my brand, because of my love for music, mm-hmm. right? And because of my love for those records. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can, you know, just listening to records is so peaceful to me. I can listen to them all day. Like there have been points and times where I literally have gotten up in the morning, brush my teeth, shower as soon as I come out, or even before that I brush my teeth, man, and turn on the record, then I get mm-hmm. in the shower, do all that, and that's all day from the time then when I go to sleep I do. So I'm like, you know, what can I get to represent that? So when I started thinking of the record store, that's where the original idea came from, like Wax on Wax.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love the name too. It's real. It fits. It's really.
Yeah, I wanted to do something different and not. And I was thinking of, so there's this scene, and I already told y'all my age, so I'm dating myself. There's this scene in Ninja Turtles 2, back in the day, which they actually got from Karate Kid, but. He's like, I think it was Michelangelo was like being goofy, and he had like these. He was cleaning up and he was like, waxed on, waxed mm-hmm. off, waxed on, waxed off. So I was like, just had that in my head as thinking about the records and stuff. And I'm like, man, why not name it Wax on Wax?
Mm-hmm. You know,
and then put two X's in it. And Then I put a vinyl record in the back. Like, I literally, like, made the logo myself. I actually made two logos. There was a different logo, but I remember sitting up, like, all night looking on YouTube videos, bouncing between that and Photoshop, like, trying to figure out how
I can make a logo
for myself.
And y'all can't make me play with Photoshop.
It was pretty dope, but I liked that one, but I wanted something a little bit more simple, so I revamped it to, like, a golden color with the record over the record. And so, like I said, it's my brand. It's start off with the records. That's the record store idea, because I'm already manifesting that. I'm like, I want my record store, so I'm going to make a logo for it and get ready for it.
I love what you mentioned, your idea for a record lounge.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Because I'm like, I want to, about me, like, I'm a very, like, laid back, hippie type person. Like, I just, you know, hippie, stoner, and I want to, and I love music. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be immersed in that. And I'm like, if I do a lounge, I want to do a lounge where people can come in and just relax and vibe. And you can come in here and shop, or you can come in here and chill.
Yeah.
Even during the day, listen to some records, network if some people are in there. You know, I want to have a whole stage and everything in there where people can do jam sessions every night, like an artist, almost kind of like an artist haven where people can come in on certain nights and there's like certain events going on, whether it be a karaoke night or somebody premiering their music or a local DJ in there who's getting to kind of like, you know, get their chops going and stuff. And just have fun with it and just enjoy it, man. But the main thing is the music, the records.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so. And then it just other things branched off into that. And then that's when the record club kind of came about.
So mention the record club. He does some monthly meetups at Moods Music. Shout out to Moods Music from Little Five Points.
Yeah, shout out to Moods.
Yeah. And he talks about an album that he selects for the month. Mm-hmm. And we go through each track and kind of talk about how it relates and how we
kinda
see it.
Kind of like a book club.
Yeah.
It's like a book club for records.
And it's so dope, y'all. It's so dope. I have a really good time when we get there. So whenever he announces his next one, I'll definitely make sure to let you guys know, because you guys have to pull up on Moods.
Yes, man. please do. Yeah. So it's just like I said, Wax on Wax ended up becoming a brand, and it spurred some different things and different ideas, but that's the brand that represents me. And like I said, the record is for the music, and because like I said, the gold in my logo represents, you know, that gold, the standard, gold standard when you think about it.
And I hope he could be proud of me, because I told him earlier today that I have my own vinyl record player. I have two vinyls right now, and I'm learning how to use it. But I enjoy it too. Like, it gives that old school nostalgic feeling. Yeah.
It's addictive.
Yeah. I want to be, and I probably am already, the auntie that's just cleaning the house, cooking a little bit with the music playing in the background. And so that's how I see it. I have my purple vinyl record player. But yeah, so this has been great. So before we close out, I want to bring up the fact that you did attend last year's Mental Moves workshop. And last year, as you guys know, we focused on the mental health of Black men. Thank you so much for coming to support that event. But I wanted to know, what were some of your takeaways from that event?
It was good to see a group of Black people, and not just Black people, but young Black people, in this space, being vulnerable and being relatable. Because, you know, sometimes, especially nowadays with social media, like, it's so easy to get caught up in the image of who that person is on social media.
Yeah.
So people are, like, not as vulnerable as they, you know, used to be or as they can be or whatever, because they're trying to keep up whatever this image is and whatever they're telling themselves. So it was, like, great to see that. And so many go-getters out there. Like, you don't see him here. Three is, you know, he had his booth set up with his clothing line. You had people set up with, like, different things. So it was just, it's amazing to see that. And also for everyone to, like I said, there was no, you never got a vibe in there, because other people had their clothing brands and stuff in there. You never got the vibe that somebody was like, oh, I don't want Yeah. Why are they here? Yeah. There was none of that.
Let none of that come into my things. Mm-mm.
So it was great, but it was great to see all that because there's an alternative representative that you always hear about. So, but it was just awesome to see a young group of Black people just being vulnerable and talking about mental health because I'm big on mental health. As you know, we've talked about that. I have bipolar 2 depression. I've had my moments. I go through my ups and downs and stuff, but I've learned over the years kind of, you know, through therapy and other things, kind of how to understand and know my triggers. So it was awesome to see y'all talking about that and covering that because I'm pretty sure there were people in the audience who may not be there yet. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, and that day could have been the day that they needed to hear something. Or they saw how maybe it helped someone else talking about their struggle, their journey, or what they're going through. And that person sees what they're going through and say, hey, man, I'm going through a very similar journey. And it was great to hear this person get up here and talk about what they struggled through and what they went through and how they overcame it. Maybe that's the message I need. Yeah. That's the message I've been looking for. That's why I'm here. So, that was awesome to see. That was beautiful to see. And I'm glad you were able to put something like that together. I hope you keep that momentum going, keep that moving because people need it and are going to continue to need stuff like that.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you for being open about some of your story with your mental health because it's real. We're in this day and age where we're just supposed to pretend like we're perfect all the time, especially in social media. Yeah, yeah. And it's not true. You know, we go through everything the same way as someone else goes through something, you know, next door. It's real. So being able to have a platform like that to bring it to the forefront and let people know that it is a safe space to talk about these things. There is a way for us to address them and just have better practices just to, you know, process things so that we don't get to a point where it can become, you know, dangerous or threatening or too dark. You know, that's my goal and just making sure people feel safe to do that and make sure that they can take away something. I say this a lot of times, like, I know I'm starting out and I'm not like the biggest known out here, but if I just impact one or two lives, I've done my job.
Great job. I believe in that too. And you said in there, you said none of us are perfect. I always like to tell people there's no such thing really as perfect by definition, what that definition actually means. It's like to say you're perfect. You're perfect already as you are. You just have to know what your definition of perfect is. Because like I said, the definition you read in the dictionary isn't that. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we understand that, that's when you're kind of able to me, I feel like that's when you unlock that freedom, or at least you begin to go on that path of that journey of what freedom is when you start to realize I'm already perfect. I'm already perfect the way I am. That's when you begin to feel free.
I'm so glad you said that. Look, we could talk forever, but I'm so glad you said that because earlier I have a prayer group with some of my girlfriends. Shout out to the Soul Sisters, started by Kels. But we had a prayer call on Monday and we had to say some things like, what would we say to ourselves maybe 3 years ago or just some ourselves like in the past? And people were saying some really good stuff and my spirit just hit me to say, I am enough. Mm-hmm. And I actually got emotional on that call and I was not anticipating getting emotional on that call because I've, you know, had instances where I feel like no matter what I'm doing, you know, I'm always busy. It's never enough for what I see myself doing, how other people view me, you know, and it really hit. Mm-hmm. And so for you to be able to say that, it coincides with what I'm trying to say as far as you are perfect, like you were saying, and I am enough. And knowing that and accepting that and believing that, that's going to get you so farther than you trying to accomplish something that you might feel is far-fetched, you know? So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And like you're welcome. I said, we can talk all day. I'm always picking his brain. We're always talking, but we can't keep you guys hostage for so long. So before we say goodbye, I want you to give our people your information. How do they follow you? How do they find you on social media?
Y'all could follow me on Instagram and TikTok. at Waxed on Wax. You can also follow me on X, Twitter, whatever. I like to just call it X, formerly known as Twitter, because that's what all the publications call it. So follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at BirdmanBrand84.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're probably going to have him back one day because we can just go on a whole bunch of different topics with him. And I just love what he has to say for us. So thank you so much for viewing. And like I want to end all of my episodes, whether you're going through highs or going through lows, just know that I'll be right there with you to keep on moving one step at a time. Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Thank y'all. Peace.
Yay, we did it. That was so good. I swear we was gonna get on so many things. I was like, oh, we about to have a whole movie. Jump in. Yeah, yeah.